I'm going to talk about being hindered. So I'm going to read from Small Straws from September 4th. And the Lord said, the spiritual atmosphere that prevails over your nation and even the whole world has been one of hindrance. It seems like you've been walking through mud. Everything takes more effort than it should. You can, however, alleviate much of this trouble by allowing me to lead you through the maze of difficulty. I will give you wisdom and favor when you ask, says the Lord. And then Proverbs 4:12 says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. I'm just going to go on record as saying I've been extraordinarily hindered this entire year. In my journal, a couple of days ago, I counted more than 30 instances of bizarre circumstances that were almost impossible to navigate. I mean, bizarre things. And we're currently in our 36th week of the year. Do you realize that's about one a week? I mean, gasp, you know? So I'm ready to learn a thing here. And I'm hoping if I learn a thing, I can help you learn a thing. So hindrance is defined as a thing that is characterized by resistance, delay, obstruction to something or someone, obstacle, barrier, handicap, block, hurdle, restriction, limitation, encumbrance, interference. I've had all of those. This whole year has just been nuts. But sometimes I feel like I'm on a different planet, or that I'm out of sync or something like that. Or am I the sane one and everybody else is nuts? I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I'm not sure, but I really want to get through this. I want my life to be a little smoother than it has been. So my question to myself and God is, how can we avoid being hindered? What can we do to alleviate this? So then I'm going to read Small Straws again. I love this one, by the way. Make every effort to walk in righteousness. There is a worldwide epidemic of lunacy. But you must stay on the path of life that is becoming increasingly narrow. Stay connected to me, says the Lord, and allow my spirit to keep you in a place of truth and sincerity. You are indeed living in the days of the great falling away. So I think I'm aware of that lunacy. I think that things seem really crazy. They seem really, out of control lots of times. I have felt out of control in some of the things that I'm trying to deal with and get through, still dealing with things. So one of my first things, I thought, I don't need to automatically trust other people to know what they're doing. I need not to trust people to know what they're doing. I do want to put my trust in God to show me the way. Amen. And I think that's good advice for everybody. I mean, we tend to want to believe people. We tend to want to trust them. I don't think we can. I think we have to do our own research. We have to know where we are. We have to know what God is saying. And if we don't know that, we need to sit still until we do. One of the things that I have found to be increasingly true is other people's interests are rarely aligned with my own, and hardly ever in agreement with what I'm trying to accomplish as led by the Spirit. So we have to trust God completely. I mean, that's the only way we're going to get through these hindering assignments. And I think the enemy is in there too. The devil wants to hinder us, every one of us, as much as he can to keep us from doing what we need to do, from being who we need to be in God. I'm going to read from Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We can't trust in our circumstances. We can't trust people to do the right thing for us. We can't trust them to take care of us or to do what we think they should do. That's trusting in chariots and horses. But we will remember the name of our Lord. And Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And when we talk about putting our trust in his name, it is his nature, his character, who we know God to be, who we know Jesus to be. So we put our trust in his name and what we know about him. Put our trust in the word as well. And Psalm 25, verse 2, "Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." So I have about, looks like six things that I want to do so that I'm not hindered. And my number one thing is to commit my circumstances to him. Commit our circumstances to God. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." Committed to him. Committed means deposited with, entrusted to, consigned to one's faithful keeping. So if I can't believe God to take care of the things that concern me, that I'm concerned about, that I'm trying to get through, then I need to commit those circumstances to him and not put them in my own hands to try to figure out. So that's number one, commit your circumstances to him. Number two is ask for wisdom. Sometimes I ask for wisdom and then I go off and do my own thing anyway because I'm not waiting long enough. And I know that when we ask for wisdom, he gives it. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And I have yet, in my Christian experience, truly asked for wisdom and not gotten it. I mean, I always get wisdom, but it isn't sometimes in the next 2 seconds or even in the same day. If I leave it alone, and if I leave it with him, I might even have a dream about it in the night, or I'll wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I know what I need to do," and it will be the right thing. When I'm not asking or receiving wisdom, it's because I'm too impatient, that I've got to do this thing, and then I run off and try to do this thing, and then I'm hindered the whole way. And what I need to do is remember, commit that circumstance to him. Really give it to him. Ask for wisdom. Wait until I get wisdom, until I move forward. And then the third thing is be righteous and pray for God's direction. Again, he will give us direction. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." So acknowledge him, wait for direction, let him direct us. If I don't know what to do, I need to wait until I know what to do. And sometimes I get in a frenzy, I get in a panic, as, "Oh my gosh, what I've been doing isn't working, and I need to change this, and I need to change it yesterday." And then I am on the move, instead of really taking my time to commit it to God, to trust him, to ask for wisdom, to ask for direction, and let him lead me. So a lot of what I've gone through, a lot of this hindrance stuff, really is my own fault. Number four, avoid frustration. The feeling of being upset or annoyed, that's what frustration is, especially because of an inability to change or achieve something. It's irritation, exasperation, annoyance, anger. And I think sometimes this is really hard to do when you've done your best and you haven't gotten through, like, I get frustrated with that, and then I'm usually not right with the Lord in that frustration. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been really foolish. I've been a fool. Most of my life, I've been a fool. So Ephesians 4:26 and 27, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." So I know when I get frustrated, I'm not hooked up to the Holy Spirit. I'm in the flesh at that point, and I'm not getting anything from God until I work through that and forgive and release the thing and go back to asking for wisdom, committing my circumstances, being righteous, and having God direct my steps, and getting over being frustrated. So number five, when circumstances arise that are really disturbing, and we all have those, get quiet sooner rather than later. The sooner I can get quiet and say, this is beyond my ability to know what to do right now. I have some ideas, but it really is beyond me. Then I need to get quiet. Chapter 19, verse 36b, "You ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly," which means without consideration. So quiet your soul. Quiet your mind and your emotions and your panic, your sense of being out of control. Get quiet. Let that die down before you move on. And the sixth thing is be willing to change. Nobody really likes change. I mean, not really. I mean, I want things to be right, and I want to be comfortable with them being right, and I don't really like to upset the apple cart that much, but I need to be willing to change. And I also came to realize that much of what I've considered to be a hindrance was God beginning to make sweeping changes that I would not have made without being forced into it. I don't know if you can all relate to that, but when I'm being hindered, it's because I'm having to change, and then I want to get this done, and it's not happening the way I want it to happen. And God is wanting to bring me into a place of change, and He'd like to do it smoothly, and I'm having a fit. Amen. So a good example of that is early this year. I think it was January, actually, the first week in January. I had trouble with my bank. You know, you've all heard the bank story. I was fed up with them calling me and asking me what I was going to do with my money, and could they get me a credit card or a debit card or meet some financial advisor or whatever, and had a couple of other things that were pretty serious things that I'm not going to talk about. But I decided to take my business elsewhere. I was going to close my accounts at the bank and open accounts at a new bank, which I did. I started that process in January, and I did not finish until May. And I'm telling you that every step of the way was hindered. Every step was hindered. They didn't want to lose my business, and so they didn't cooperate with me in closing those accounts necessarily. And it just took forever. And getting those accounts to zero balances was harder than expected, and they were not cooperative in the process. And lots of times I would know that I had a zero balance, and so I would write a check to the new bank, and the zero balance and the check would pass each other the same day, and they would charge me an overdraft, and then I'd have to put more money in the bank. I mean, it just went on and on, and it happened with almost every account that I was trying to close. So by the time I accomplished this move, I had gone from 5 church accounts to 1 and 6 personal accounts to 2 accounts. So I went from a total of 11 bank accounts to 3. And that was a good thing. I mean, it just, everything began to simplify. And this actually ended up being the catalyst to the changing of other systems that I was using that were outdated and inefficient. And an example of that was, in order to receive donations, I had a cart that I had used since 1998, I think, or 1999. And when I changed the bank account to another bank, they didn't recognize the bank, and so I was out of a cart. So then I'm scrambling again to get another cart. So I got another cart, and that one didn't work. So I had to cancel that cart, and each time I had to pay to even open that cart as an account. So the first cart didn't work, the old one didn't work, the first cart didn't work, the second cart also didn't work. So I had 3 carts that I opened, tried to get to work, and they didn't. So what I finished up really finding out is PayPal is incredible. It isn't a cart, it's not a gateway, but you can donate using PayPal and you can receive the funds, and they don't charge you like an extra monthly fee. It's just a transaction fee. I had no idea that they did that, and I don't think they used to do that. I signed up for that, and all my troubles were over. If I could have heard God clearly enough for him to say, PayPal, I would have loved that, but I didn't. I mean, it was heart-wrenching. It was hard to do, and the pressure is on because people are still wanting to donate. I have no viable way for them to do that. So the pressure was on, right? And so, let's see, all of the things that I told you you shouldn't do if you don't want to be hindered, I did. I didn't do those things. I didn't ask for wisdom and then just wait calmly. I was like a chicken with my head cut off, moving around, not knowing a thing. So then I remembered a message that God gave me at the end of 2015. It was the New Year's message for 2016, and it was called Simplify and Fortify. And after almost 2 years, I can say that I had absolutely no idea how many things would undergo radical change to fulfill God's purposes. And I still don't know if that process is complete. I mean, it may not be, but I mean, where I stand right now, as opposed to where I was at the end of the year 2015, nothing is the same. I mean, nothing is the same. So even though hindrances are difficult to navigate, the result of change in this nearly 2 years, I mean, a year and 9 months, everything that I've done, and I believe it's been at God's direction, yet it was really hard to get to, has made my life less complicated, easier to handle, more solid, and basically I'm less burdened and I'm happier. But I would never have done any of that on my own. If I could keep the same website and the same financial institutions and all the stuff that I had in 1999, I'd still have it, because I don't like to go through the hassle of getting new things. I mean, before I preached tonight, we were talking about insurance companies. I'm in the midst of trying to get my insurance premiums down, and it has been really hard. Thought I had it, and then I get my policy, and my premiums have not gone down, they have gone up. And so I'm still looking. But it's hard, because I can't trust the people that I'm working with or having to deal with to have my interest at heart. There's one thing that makes this world go, and it's money. and they want mine and yours. Amen? I mean, everybody's got their money in your pocket, or their hand in your pocket trying to get money. So anyway, I said all that to say the hindrances that came were as a result of God trying to make some changes that were going to make my life and our lives better. Didn't make it any easier, but it was worthwhile. So one of the quotes from the message from Simplify and Fortify is this: I want to bring you to a new and higher spiritual level where you can begin to see with clear perspective. From this place, your life will be a process of unfolding step by step as I go before you to prepare the way for my purposes to be revealed and demonstrated in your life. Take an inventory of your mental and spiritual condition. You are still in the Simplify and Fortify process as change continues to position you for my highest and best. Make an honest assessment of what is important to you and adjust your priorities so you can truly seek my kingdom first, says the Lord. I mean, that's really what he's been doing for all this time. And every time he talks to me about doing something else, I've got my anchor out. trying to get myself anchored. You know, I don't want to really change. Could we make the changes and not have any hassle? Well, change comes with hassle. So what do we need to do to help with this process of hindrance is that we need to stay close to God. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to trust Him. We don't need to trust ourselves or other people. We need to trust God. He said he would move us through this maze of difficulties, and he does, and he will. So Galatians 5:25, again, for probably the 36th time this year, because this is the 36th week, right? Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Stay close to God. Be one with him. Do nothing until you know he's moving you to act. Amen. And then I'm going to read from John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. And Jesus is praying to the Father for us, for me, for you. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect and one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Our goal is to be one with him in all things. He's got the answers. He's got the wherewithal to move us, to show us. And so we need to just stay in him. Our goal is to know him, be in relationship with him, and do nothing apart from him. And that's where we're going to go forward. If you're hindered, stop, be quiet, make an assessment of what you're trying to do, and then move forward, not rashly, but according to the will of God. As he moves us, we will move. Amen? I haven't done it right yet this year. And I think tomorrow is a new day. And I'm not going to be rash or irritated or frustrated. I'm going to just move through these things with God. Amen? And I'm done.